podcast. Oops. I mean the online radio network.
The Galactic Broadcast System.
The Galactic Broadcast System, that's right. Restoring vitality to you, the planet, and the solar system. In fact, Martin, I have to interrupt our introduction to tell you that the sun is going through a very, very interesting phase right now. There are no sunspots on the sun, at least as of a couple of days ago. And there haven't been any for like a week. And this is. I mean, there's been the odd time when they haven't seen any sunspots on the sun for like a day. But they're thinking it's kind of like the big storm, the calm before the big storm or something like that. And of course, we haven't been able to study the sun long enough to know if this is part of the natural functioning of the sun and a natural occurrence, and what happens when the sunspots do come. Do they come back fast and furious? Are there flares? Or is it just like a non-event? So we're restoring vitality to you, the planet, and the sun.
Oh boy, we better start meditating now, all of us, collectively, on keeping the sun in good shape. Because if that old giant stirs, the parable about, or just the proverb, I suppose, about he who sleeps with elephants must be very careful how they
roll over,
turn when they sleep. Like if you something like I'm lost on this one, but if you go to bed with an elephant, expect to get tossed around, or be careful where you lie down, kind of thing.
Yeah, because if they roll over, you're going to get squished.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing. And so when the sun decides to, I don't know what controls it, decides to turn off the spots. I mean, a few years ago, we had massive amount of spots, and we had all kinds of magnetic activity, and it was creating all kinds of storms on the planet, and, mayhem.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, nothing.
Well, and I saw a movie the other day called The Knowing with Nicolas Cage, and it was all about this girl who makes these prophecies, and it turns out the prophecy at the end is there's this huge flare from the sun, and it's going to wipe out all life on planet Earth. So
it could, yep.
We've had huge flares that have knocked out lots of satellites and cell phones and electric grids and everything else. So
yes,
it would be very interesting to see what happens.
Well, if indeed it's a calm before the storm, oh, God may have mercy on us all.
We live in interesting times, that's for sure. And when you brought up the elephant, that brought up a story that you and I have discussed about blind men and an elephant. And we were talking about that in terms of how we could talk about the topic that we wanted to talk about today, which is Ormus. And we've been talking about nanominerals and, electrons and stuff that's affecting our health at a very, very almost quantum level, if you want to put it that way. And, of course, Ormus is an amazing topic. It's an amazing subject. It's a tough thing to describe, actually. So we thought maybe we would start off with telling you the story of the blind men and the elephant.
Right. I would like to actually preamble it with, the topic of Ormus has been in human experience since ancient times. We have records that the Egyptians worked with it, the pharaohs and all of that. That was the powder of mineralization. And we have an article on the Ormus education pages that describes that. Starfire, Gold of the Gods, which is an article written by a fellow from the UK, Sir, not just an ordinary fellow, Sir Lawrence Gardner. He's a official historian and worked with the nobility in England. I don't know his entire credentials, but he has done a lot of research into what are the origin of the human race. And he calls this alchemical substance starfire. Mm. And he talks about all kinds of stuff in his writings. And one of the bits that he talks about is how the Egyptians were already aware of it and playing with it, and how they used it as a form of transfiguration and gosh, you know, the wisdom and the illumination and the ascension and the spirituality and so on. So anyway, this item exists in long time. In medieval alchemy, it was known as the Philosopher's Stone. And in modern times, it's just degraded into nano minerals. But there are modern day alchemists, large in numbers, who are talking about ormus.
And you're hearing it about it here, folks.
Well, we can't ignore it. You know, it's part of our reality. Mm-hmm. And but it's reality that's hard to describe. Some people talk about colloids. Some people talk about
electrons.
Electrons or subatomic particles. You know, some people that I've discussed this with believe that the ormus elements are smaller than atomic. Mm. And I would like to give you a visualization. If you visualize the solar system, it has the nucleus, which is the sun,
yep.
And then it has planets, which are in the orbitals outside of there. And that's very much the model that's used to describe the atoms. So if you were to describe something like an atom of gold, you would have a cluster of protons and neutrons in the center, and then you would have in the outer layers, orbitals, the electrons. And you can visualize the solar system as having a huge amount of space in between these things. Mm-hmm. There's room for all kinds of cosmic dust, little asteroids, comets, and other riffraff just flying around without much trouble, except for now and then something collides with something else.
Right.
Well, similarly, the metaphor was that the ormus is much like the asteroids within the atomic structures. So it could be inside of oxygen or maybe inside of carbon or something, that these particles that are not readily detectable exist as this kind of atomic debris. So that's one language that people have used to describe it. Another language they've used is calling it colloids. And, you know, a colloid by definition is something that's multiple atoms, several atoms in size. Well, colloid actually is more complex. I mean, a colloid is anything that's a suspension in water or in liquid, such as milk or blood or liquids of that sort. Those are typical colloids. But you can have metallic colloids like bits of silver or bits of gold suspended in water. As long as the particles are small enough that the molecules of water can bump it around and keep it in suspension, it's a true colloid. But going forward, you know, these guys that are making these statements, they don't even have the tools to justify these statements. There really isn't a, you know, electron microscope has the resolution of the electrons bumping into stuff and showing you and describing to you what they're seeing. I mean, electrons are bigger than photons. So, how do I best say it? People who are making statements about what this stuff really is or how it really behaves are doing that which we were starting to talk about when you brought up the story of how many blind men and an elephant?
Well, it depends who you talk to, but it ranges from 3 to 6.
Right. I mean, I've gone to Wikipedia to look it up, and they talk about the original Jain story of 6 blind men. But there are others that have written it shorter, probably for brevity, because we don't really need to go into the great big detail about it. Mm-hmm. But the point of that exercise is that if you lead blind men into a room with an elephant and let them explore the elephant, they will have their experience with it, and they will talk about it and try and tell you what it's all about. And I guess, do you want to summarize it a bit, or should I babble? I guess I'll continue. One blind man runs into the side of the elephant and experiences it as a big solid object, as a wall. Another one crawls around the bottom and finds the big feet and believes that this thing is a whole lot like tree trunks, more than one perhaps. And another one is somewhere at the back end of the elephant and believes that that thing is a whole lot like a rope, because he encountered the tail. And another one who's at the front believes that that thing is sort of like a snake, because he encountered the trunk. And yet another one talks about how it behaves like solid pipes, because he ran into the tusks.
So each of them got to see a different part of the elephant, and because they didn't see the whole thing, they came away with a very strong opinion of what an elephant was that was different than what everyone else thought.
Right, yeah. If you talk to the first one, you would say elephant is a huge thing that's sort of like a wall.
Yeah. Or it's like a tree trunk, or it's like a snake, or it's like a sharp object.
Yes. And so here we are, listening to these blind men describing armors to us. And one says it's like colloids, and another one says it's like subatomic particles, and another one will say it's sort of like photons, except they're not moving. And then there are these allegorical stories from the Egyptian times and from the biblical times.
Right, right. And you have a quantum physicist who says that, well, maybe it's a particle and maybe it's a wave.
Yes. Yeah, at that level, it actually goes in and out. When it's not moving, it's a particle. When it is moving, it's a wave or something like that.
Yeah.
And at our level, you know, at our size that we are as human beings living a life in a human body, these things are so tiny that we can only experience them in food or in drinks. So, to me, Armas really is only useful as something that can make my food more healthy, or my garden grow better, or prevent illness in humanity. And that it can. Go ahead.
I was going to say, my next question was, how do you get Ormus?
And it's a fantastic question. I believe that it's richly present throughout nature in a fairly low concentration. I believe it comes up from the low surface in volcanic activity. So it's possible that the core of planet Earth isn't all iron or molten metals, but it could be actually molten Ormus.
Oh, okay.
After all, nobody's been down there. You know, we have drilled as far back as about 3 or 4 miles into the lithosphere, but there have been no visitors down into the molten core at all that I know of. But anyway, so what we do know is that volcanic soils contain a lot of it, and we have plants that grow in these volcanic soils that produce better and healthier produce, and it's healthy and great to consume. And I further assume that these billions of years of erosion that have been wearing down the rocks that come up from below, that all of this stuff ends up floating down rivers into the oceans, so that there's a whole lot of it in the ocean water.
Okay.
And so I think I talked about this earlier, is where I believe that both corals and pearls and other what are they called? Gastropods or mollusks? Those type of creatures, anyway, are concentrating the Ormus in their shells.
Oh, okay.
And that's why there are such great health benefits from consuming coral, calcium, or or lately there's a new product coming to the market called Pearlseum, which is essentially the mother of pearl dissolved and turned into a consumable protein.
Wow, I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, there's a fairly young network marketing company called Pearlseum that's coming in, and I've contemplated offering that product to our audience, but so many networking companies, I just can't handle all of that.
Right. We have to remain focused, that's for sure.
Yes. So there we have the presence of Ormus throughout nature. It's possible that when you're walking on a beach, all of that glassy stuff that you're walking on that appears to be just ordinary silica or quartz crystal, it could actually be white powder of gold. It could be actually the glassy white gold. But you wouldn't know it because it's chemically inert. And it doesn't react to anything. So there are these wonderful products out there on the market, like Sea Crop, that you can get and put on your garden and make it grow like it's Garden of Eden. You know, I've seen pictures of walnuts that are the size of baseballs and oranges that are the size of melons, grown on trees that have been fed Ormus for several years.
Have you ever heard of the place in Scotland called, I think it's Fanghorn?
Findhorn.
Findhorn?
Yes.
They talk there about just amazing fruits and vegetables that come out of their gardens. And I'm wondering if that's a result maybe of a lot of Ormus in that particular area.
Well, they're not talking about it, but they are practicing biodynamic farming, and they are a very spiritual community, and they talk to their plants, and they, you know, they practice energetics that allow them to indeed grow phenomenal produce. Yes, it would be nice if our corporate agribusiness would learn something from that example. That we don't need larger areas planted and dusted with NPK fertilizer that has been refined and mined somewhere, and we don't need herbicide, pesticide. We just need to talk to the plants and to the pests and have a conversation and maybe just share the space with them.
Right. Well, it's all part of one ecosystem, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is, yeah. I think there are essentially two thought forms coexisting on the planet. One which would have us as part of the environment, and the other which would have us separate from the environment. And currently the technological world is that of being separate. And if you're separate from it, you can rape it, explore it, exploit it, rape and pillage and plunder, because it's separate from you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're separate from it. Whereas the native cultures, the hunter-gatherer, Stone Age type of thinking, saw us as being one with the environment. I recall a line where this native elder is saying, "We must tread very lightly on the earth because we're stepping on the faces of our grandchildren who are coming through the ground looking at us."
Hmm.
And I just see the poetry of it. It's like, you know, when you're walking or when you're interacting with nature, you must remember that whatever you're going to do is going to be felt by several generations after.
That's a very, very wise and profound thought, Martin.
Oh, very much so. And it saddens me greatly, and I find it very difficult to coexist with people who don't consider their moves, their existence. And you know, they would call me some kind of a green freak or tree hugger or something like that. But you know, we all are living in the same aquarium, you know. I think we used that metaphor a little earlier, is that if you're a fish living in an aquarium, you know, you're going to take the food from the water into which you're going to poop again.
Yeah.
So the environment itself can become poisonous, and will, if you're misbehaving. And indeed, we can see the effects all around us. I think a whole bunch of wrong-headed theories have been put forward. But one of the biggest concerns I have is that the population expansion, that the number of people on the planet is growing so fast that it's sort of like a virus or fungus that's taking over the organism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's possible that the humanity itself is like cancer on the body of the planet.
Yeah, definitely seems like it's out of control.
It's really a concern for me. So I would like to advocate practicing a small footprint lifestyle, especially when it comes to environment and coexisting with other species. I think the statement that we have been put on the planet to be in charge of everything is terribly arrogant.
And if it's a true statement, we're doing a terrible job.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
You know, I mean, if we are in charge, like those poor, bears and, tigers and all those species of plants and animals that are going extinct. I mean, can you imagine if you had a store and all your customer count went down every day, what your boss would end up saying to you, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What are you doing to all our customers? Well, we're killing them.
we don't need those. Yeah, we don't need those.
There go the honeybees. There goes the dodo. There goes a couple elephants. There goes, you know, a species of panda bear. A couple more fish species are gone. Those plants, you know, there's only three species of carrots left. But we're doing we're all right. We still got stuff that we can sell.
Yeah, there's a phenomenal book out there written by Daniel Quinn, Quinn, called Ishmael, Ishmael. It's a story that is told by a gorilla who happens to be who figured out how to telepathically communicate with people. He cannot speak. Gorillas can't speak human language, but this gorilla learned to communicate and picks this protagonist of the story and tells him about this culture, and he calls it takers on one side and givers on the other. And, you know, the givers contribute to the fabric of life, and takers, well, they take away and don't contribute. And he describes the conflict. And I would recommend to all of our listeners to pick that book up, because it's a wonderful source of food for thought.
Sounds like a fascinating story and one that we all need to hear.
I would recommend it. It definitely gives one pause about the sort of behavior that we engage in as we interact with one another and with the planet, with the resources that we come into contact with. So here comes Ormus. Ormus is richly present on the planet. And wherever there's more of it, plants grow that are healthier. And when we consume these plants, they make us healthier in turn.
So we're all connected.
Especially through Ormus.
Wonderful. All right. Well, I think we've come to the end of this particular episode, Martin, and I was just wondering, if somebody wanted to get more into Ormus, of course, they can go to the Life Enthusiast Co-op website at www.life-enthusiast.com and look it up under the health education, under minerals, or nutrition, I guess.
No, it's minerals. Minerals, nano, Ormus.
Okay. But is there any particular product that you've got that you would recommend someone try if they're really interested in feeling what this Ormus can do on an individual basis?
I find it difficult to pick any favorites. We represent several Ormus makers, alchemists, so just click on the You know, select by products, minerals, nano armas. Pick the one that you feel attracted to. Let your intuition guide you to that. We have put a coupon into the system. The coupon code is ORM77. With that, you'll get 10% discount on any one of these. Go ahead, pick one. Personally, I take the gift, which is, well, we've talked about it in the past.
Yeah.
But there are others. I'm currently testing one of the Ormus oils called Tranquility, and I'm very pleased with that.
Incredibly tranquil this whole hour.
Oh, yes, I have. And, well, I tell you this one. There's one called Cold Fire, and I have a great report back from one of our customers who has had outbreaks of genital herpes. Putting Cold Fire on it has been soothing it very nicely. Thank you very much. you know, sidebar, Ormus is the substance that heals everything.
Oh, okay.
Remember, it's the most healthful thing you can put in your body because it's the interface between the consciousness and the physicality. It's that which connects your higher self, the driver, to the computer. You know, like if the body that I'm occupying and moving around is like a vehicle, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a robot, really, that somebody is wearing, right? I mean, who's moving this arm that's scratching the forehead, right? Who decided that it was time to scratch it? And who decided that I'm supposed to share all of this knowledge with humanity? I mean, who was that?
That's a very deep question.
Right. And to me, the interface between the person or the entity that decides the bigger picture and the sweatwear that I'm wearing as a suit and moving it around and flapping its lips and making these sounds, I believe the interface is the Ormus. Mm-hmm. And the more of this interface material I have, the clearer, louder, and more effective this transmission. In fact, I would even speculate that when I have lots of that on board, my power of creation improves. Mm. That I can actually speak into existence or birth into existence, into reality, things or events more effectively when my body is well fed in Ormus. And that's an enormous concept.
Huge.
Huge, yeah.
Huge. All right. Well, everybody, you've been listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op online radio network, restoring vitality to you, the planet, the sun, the solar system, and our higher selves. Martin, have you any last words of wisdom before we sign off?
If you think that I'm full of it, call me. Tell it to me in my face. I'm at 1-866-543-3388. I'm waiting for your call.
And if you agree with them, you can call them too, right?
Oh, I love a bit of conflict. But sure, go ahead. Praise me. I crave your praise. Call me and tell me that you're listening to this. I have never heard enough of that.
And if you want to listen to previous podcast episodes, you can head over to lifeenthusiast.podomatic.com or on the Life Enthusiast Co-op website. There's a little tab that says podcast. It'll take you right there. And we've got over 109 or 110 now episodes up there full of amazing information, secret information that we're trying not to keep quite so secret for your education and enjoyment.
Okay, get your Ormus. You know where you can get it.